Let's talk about the consequence engine as it operates for everyone in daily life. Consequences abound in our lives. You drive over the speed limit, and if there's, it's a warm day, one of the motorcycle, policemen are hiding behind a hedge somewhere, you will win a ticket because there's a consequence to driving over the speed limit. You drive under the influence of some substance and get caught, you will have an even greater and more severe consequence to that. You don't pay your rent, the consequence is you'll get moved out of your living facilities. They're just always, we accept these all the way through life. You go into the military, you don't accept the drill sergeant's orders, there will be a severe consequence for that. It's just built into life, and we know about these consequences. Basically, sensible people who are law-abiding and moral cause less trouble for themselves in this life and are better off as long as they live sensibly. And compared to the other people who are irresponsible or promiscuous or abuse alcohol and drugs and can't hold a job. So see, in life, whether you're saved or lost, there seems to be this constant engine at work. If you're sensible, if you go to work, and if you're kind of responsible and you don't abuse drugs and everything and you act kind of, pretty together, you get along better in life than those who are irresponsible and not sensible and wise, whether you're saved or lost. It's the consequence engine at work. Neither type of individual will end up in heaven, both the foolish or the wise one, just because of their sensibility. We know that they have to be saved. But in this present life, it's better off for people who see the order of the world and allow it to be their guide. They see that the hard workers are rewarded with pay. They see that the non-substance abusers don't have all the medical problems and all the legal problems. And so they just go through life a little wiser. Maybe their motives are self-serving, and maybe they don't know God. But God has put these laws into operation. And they work for saved and lost alike. And always remember, God takes everything going on in your life into consideration. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. I'll read it to you. God says, don't judge anything before the appointed day. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light everything that's hidden, and he will expose the motives of our hearts. See, we don't even know why people do things. God does. And God says, I am rewarding or punishing each one according to their motivation. Well, the consequence engine operates very well for pagans. Most people on this planet, Ted reminded us, a 500,000 people in Tulsa, don't really know the real God. They're actually enemies of God. There's a general animosity toward God. In fact, that's what religion is all about. People don't want to know the real God, so they invent their own religion. That's the heartbeat of where religion came from. God from the beginning revealed himself. People said, I don't want to know that God. He's too strict. I want to make my own religion, something I can do. And so that's what Romans 1:18 through 21 says, that God has given enough knowledge of his existence and attributes so that everyone is without excuse. And when people hear but reject the gospel, this week I had a wonderful opportunity. I was pulling in with Bonnie to get a sandwich, and this guy drove in right beside us, rolled the window down, started furiously waving at me. And I waved back. And then he kept waving. And Bonnie said, he wants to talk to you. And I said, honey, I haven't seen you for 2 days. And I said, I want to talk to you. She said, but I think he wants to talk to you. So I rolled my window down. And he said, your car is scratched. I said, I know. Thanks. Started putting my window up. And he waved again. He says, I fix scratches. I said, it's a dumpy old car. It has 200,000 miles on it. And it's my son's. And I don't want to pay for his scratches. He says, I fix scratches. I said, okay. He said, I come where you work. I fix scratch. I said, great. He came over here to the church and fixed the scratches on my car. Of course, I had to pay him. But you know what? I got the privilege of sharing the gospel. I had not talked to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days. And you know what the Lord did? He had someone wave at me and made me roll. My wife say, roll your window down. He was bringing someone so that my track packed in my wallet was, and I'd prayed that I'd have someone. But see, when the Lord brings them, sometimes we don't respond. We have to have a wife say, respond, honey. That's someone from the Lord. But you know what? And they were very receptive to the gospel. But when someone rejects the gospel and they don't accept what the Word of God says, God allows them to continue living their life. And in a pagan's life, they can go through life and there's no obvious negative consequence for their unbelief. God just allows them to live under the silent, invisible wrath of God. In other words, if you earnestly share the gospel and the person says, I'm not interested, God doesn't burn them on the spot. He just allows them to live under the laws that he has placed into this universe. And Solomon says that God even allows them to enjoy life. God allows that. And the consequence engine is inexorable and unavoidable, and it's operating, even though it appears that lost people seem to enjoy life without God. So what's going to be the way that God works through all this?